This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
طالع البدر علينا من ثانيات
Okay, bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulullah wa ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear brothers of Islam, and welcome to the second last episode of the Seerah. A crash course indeed, and inshallah we have a lot of lessons learned that we have heard, and tonight going to take you on a quick journey from the Hijrah as we talked about last week. So quickly, let's recap. What was the lesson learned last week from the Hijrah? Sisters? Yes, Ukhti.
Hijrah is from your sins.
MashaAllah. A sister always comes through, MashaAllah. May Allah bless you, Sister Yusra, right? MashaAllah. Habibi, Shaykh Omar, Brother Omar.
Sacrifice.
So said Hijrah is Hijrat al-Ma'asi. When you say migration is migration from sins, two good deeds, from darkness to light, from ignorance to knowledge, all of that stuff. Very good. It says sacrifice, right? We gave the examples of how much Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sacrificed. He left everything behind. Remember, he was looking back. Says, "This is my beloved, everything. I'm leaving." Umm Salama radiallahu anha, and all Suhaib al-Rumi when he left money behind. All of the sacrifices. Yes, Doc. Right on. Right on. Very good. So the fitna, we put it to bed. The brothers are really very excited here, but I'm trying to get some of the sisters. MashaAllah. And I'm very happy that you're raising your hand. Alhamdulillah. Yes, Ukhti. Disobedience and obedience. Okay, MashaAllah. Brothers. Yes, Sheikh. Planning, right? So Prophet Muhammad ﷺ did not say, you know, I'm the messenger of Allah. Allah will will make this easy for me. No. He says, you have to plan. And he hired a non-Muslim because he was the expert. And he had the people going around with the shepherd to push away the footsteps of the, all of that. Everything, the evidence, and who's going to give him the food, who's going to give him the news. Alhamdulillah. Sisters, anything else that you learned from the seerah last week? Yes. Hey? Good company, because he had the best. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu was with him, and how much he did before he entered the cave and all of that stuff. Fantastic. Anything else, brothers? Brother Rumi, how are you? Anybody else? Okay, that's pretty good. Very good. That's amazing. Okay, so now, alhamdulillah, migrated. They come in, and we said that they could have simply looked at him, and remember, he had a decoy. He did not go towards Medina. He went to the opposite direction, and you will see this a trend happening, inshallah, tonight also. And after that, he had another way to do this. And by the way, when the people had him, and they had 100 camel, right? They had, you know what, I want you dead or alive. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, Bush said the same thing. So as I said, history repeats itself, doesn't make anything. We are not going to waver, as I said, if they want to take the tree, we have seeds that they plant everywhere. Alhamdulillah. So we also knew that he had miracles. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that all they had to do was look beneath their feet. And we were there. So I said that, what did we learn from that? Did I talk to you about that? No, I guess not. All right, you understand that the movies that has the spider webs and the doves at the gate of the cave, all da'if, they're all weak, not authenticated. But what is authenticated, what is sahih, that the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, wallahi, all he had to do is look below them, and we were there, we had nothing. وَلَكِنْ صَرَفَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ النَّظَرِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept the vision away. So what do we learn from that? That means the eye doesn't see you except with the, exactly, with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi'la. Same thing as you said, tabbat yada Abi Lahab wa tab. You heard Qari Yunus, hafidhahullah. He says the wife of Abu Lahab actually wanted to go and harm Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though he was sitting right next to Abu Bakr. Where is he? He said he's right here. She couldn't see him. And remember, we also said that when Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam was thrown in the fire, what does the fire do? It burns. Did it burn him? No. What does the knife do? Did it cut the neck of Prophet Ismail alayhi salam? What is the content of water? H2O. Put the H2O together, what do you get? Don't do it. I mean, if you put it in the lab under circumstances, it will explode, right? And that's what the water is. So guess what? Water on judgment, water in the end of time, it will turn into fire. Could you imagine the river that you have in Brisbane? All the Gold Coast, all the Sunshine Coast, all the Byron Bay, the Noosa, all of these areas. Two-thirds of this world is what? Water. Could you imagine all this water is turning into fire? Could you just imagine that? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yaslubuha al-khasiyya. Allah takes away the characteristics of it, will put it back on Judgment Day. And it's telling you that the knife only cuts by the permission of Allah. And the fire only burns by the permission of Allah. And the eyes can see with the permission of Allah. So you have to understand that this increases your iman. So when he went away, and who was following him? Okay. Suraqah ibn Malik. Very good. So Suraqah ibn Malik, it's a long story. He saw them, the two on one. He knew it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wanted the 100 camel. Who is this? He says, oh no, this is so-and-so. He wanted to distract him, to divert the attention. So he was the one. He went, wore the armors of war, had his sword, and heading straight, I want the 100 camels. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq is right, this is when Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's going to the right, going to the left, going in front of him, going behind him. He says, what are you doing? He says, I'm afraid somebody will come from the front, so I go in the front. I'm afraid somebody will come in the back, I go in the back. Everywhere, I'm just trying to protect you. He says, relax. He says in that, and we mentioned before, ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ إِذْهُمَا فِي الْغَارِ Two, in the cave. And when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking to him, what did he say? Ya Abu Bakr, مَا ظَنُّكَ بِثْنَيْنِ ثَالِثَهُمَ اللَّهِ What do you think if there are two? Who's the third? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, Inna Allaha ma'ana. Remember that? What's the difference between Inna Allaha ma'ana when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking to Abu Bakr? He says, Allah is with us. And what Musa alayhi salam, when he was talking to his people, he says, Inna ma'ya rabbi sayahdeen. With me is my Lord. He will guide us. What's the difference, guys? That's the first chocolate. You tell me what color you want. It's all yours. MashaAllah. Very good. Selections tonight. The brothers are feeling very generous tonight. If you tell me what's the difference between the two statements, you get one of these. I'm going to repeat. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was talking to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He says, "Inna Allaha ma'ana." Allah is with us. When Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam was talking to the Jews, he would say, "Inna ma'ya Rabbi sayahdeen." With me is my Lord. He will guide us. What's the difference? I know my wife knows it because she heard me 3,000 times. You're on the right track, Ukhti. If I don't get something better than that, you will get it. Look, Musa alayhi salam was looking for a way out. Right on. The enemy was ahead of them. Very good. And she said only Ibrahim was the only believer. Anybody else, guys? No, Sheikh, we don't think about this thing. We just think about, you know, how do I get this easy chocolate thing without me answering anything and breathing? All right, let me tell you the difference. My wife is going over to tell her this. She's all right, the difference is the audience. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was talking to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So who does he feel more comfortable with? Al-Ma'iyyah, who he's with, or who is with him? Like, you know what I mean? He says, who said first? Did he say, ma'iyya Allah? Ma'iyya, with me. Or did he say Allah first? Inna Allaha, inna tawkeed, by the way. It's for sure, verily, no doubt. Inna, something when you say, when you hear, it's like inna. Tawkeed is called, okay? So he says, inna Allaha ma'na. Allah is with us. So if I know Allah is with me, if Allah is with you, who can be against you? But if Allah is against you, who can help you? Nobody. But Prophet Musa alayhi salam, who is the audience? The Jews. What's their iman like? They just told, اجعل لنا إله كما لهم إله. They just told, this is let Harun alayhi salam, he says, let us have another god, make another cow. Like they had a god. What? Amazing, isn't it? So the target audience is extremely important when you actually address people knowing that. So he says, إِنَّ مَعْيَا, here, I am here with you, ملموس, tangible. You can see me, you can touch me. Yes? So, إِنَّ مَعْيَا, I'm with you, man, don't worry, relax. Rabbi came second, Lord came second. And that's the difference, huge difference. طيب. On the way, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Abu Bakr, relax, don't worry. And he said this dua, I'm going to teach you again. Allahumma kfinihi bima shi'it. Will Allah protect me from him the way you wish. So now what happens? Suraqah ibn Malik was a very good fighter, by the way. And he was a very good horseman, very skillful. And as soon as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, the foot of the horse dug into the sand and he fell off the horse. He said, Wallahi, I have never fallen off a horse. But he was still hungry. He wants the 100 camels. He got back on the horse and he's still dashing for them. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq says, Wallahi, Ya Rasul, I see death in his eyes. He's coming. He wants blood. He's not coming with peace. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allahumma kfinihi bima shi'it. Once again, Wallah, protect me from him the way you wish. Again, the horse stopped and Suraqah for the second time fell off. And then Suraqah, because he wanted it so bad, for the third time he never gave up and he dashed again for the third time. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allahumma kfinihi bima shi'it. Oh Allah, protect me from him the way you wish. Now he fell off and he said what? Al-aman ya Muhammad. Protect me, ya Muhammad. Can you imagine? This man is coming to get you and he's now asking, protect me because I can't get to you. He says, untouchable. He realized that fact. So he says, Al-aman ya Suraqah. Come. So he said, كَيْفَ بِكَ يَا سُرَاقَ وَأَنْتَ تَلْبِسْ سُوَارَيْ كِسْرَى. What do you think, Suraqah? How would you feel when you wear the jewelries of Kisra? Kisra, you know who's Kisra? The emperor of the Persians. This is like the two big powers, not Russia and America. They were the Persians and the Romans. These were the two biggest in powers. Could you imagine me telling you, hey, dude, I'm running away, yeah? the headhunters, I got bounty on my head. I'm running away. I'm hiding. Yes? And you come to me and says, listen, dude, if you let me go, I'm going to put you in the White House. You're going to think, you know, Sheikh, this biryani you've been eating, it's really affecting your mental health. I think I'm highly recommending just to go to Messina because it has good ice cream. It's a little less calories. So now, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, how would you like it, oh Suraqah, when you wear that jewelry of Kisra? He says, write it down for me. So he did. On a bones, he wrote down, this is so-and-so, given this so-and-so to Suraqah ibn Malik. When was he given it? If you tell me when he was given, Allahu Akbar, which one would you like? There you go. This one, this, you're right. This guy. Bismillah. Oh my God. It's just a bad turn. Very good, mashallah. You got it, ukhti. May Allah bless you, sister Yusra. At the time of Umar radiallahu anhu arda, he hasn't forgotten. They get the jewelry of Kisra. They beat him and they come back. And the army was so honest. They said the smallest of diamonds in it was given. Nothing was omitted. You could have taken this. He says, where is Suraqah ibn Malik? Come. He split the army into two lines and he put the jewelry of Kisra in his hands. He said, please raise your hands. And he was walking in the middle of the two lines of the army. And he says, هَذَا يَوْمُ بِرٌ وَوَفَاءٌ. Umar says, this is the day that we be benevolent and fulfill the honor of the promise of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So a lesson learned. How many promises did you guys make and you fulfilled? Don't raise your hand. How many times did you have to actually go against your whims and desires and do the right thing? How many times did you actually dig deep to actually fulfill something that even took a long time? How many have you forgotten the good that people have done? How many have forgotten that you made a dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you after a long time and you did not recognize that this came from Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ala. It came from me. I'm smart. I'm rich because I'm powerful. No. Don't ever forget. And now Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is let go of Suraqah. He goes back. Nothing. He goes to the opposite direction. And he goes on that sahil, because you know the Medina, they always go through the desert. But he did not take the desert line. He had that expert. He went on the sahil, on the shores. You know when you go to Jeddah, there is a, you know the water thingy? He went on the far end. Long story short, he's now just before he's making it. He stops over. But because of the due to budget cuts on time, on the way, you know that, who knows the Tala al Badr alayna. You get this, but listen to it. Min thaniyat al wada'. Wrong. You know the most popular nasheed in history of Islam is actually wrong. Do you believe this? I hate to you know bubble, you know, pierce your bubble. You know, it's like telling the kids there's no Santa. What? Are you kidding me? There's no this fluffy guy that comes with the thing. You know, no Santa doesn't exist. Yeah. No, the it's not a hadith. I'm just saying geographically it's impossible. Because Taniyat al-Wada is totally in a different direction that he came in. So I'm just saying, just an FYI. Don't worry about it. So when you hear the nasheed, go, nah, you guys are, talk to the hand, call waiting. It's wrong. He's just this guy. He came from all the way just to you know, pierce our bubbles. This is not... Yeah, just to understand it. So when he came in, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he was coming and they didn't know who was whom. And the people used to come out all every day to stay out on the boundaries of Medina from the sunrise to sunset, waiting for him. 3 days, in and out, nothing. Just on the third day before the sun sets, one of the Jews says, here comes what you were waiting for. Ya ahl al-jabajib, or the people of the tents. He means Aws wal Khazraj. Hada jiddukum, wujdukum. Yani this is what you're gonna be victorious, or you're gonna earn or win. This is what you're waiting for. Muhammad has come, alayhi salatu salam. And Abu Bakr Siddiq right away, he took the umbrella, put it over the head of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and pointed to him right away. No, it's not me, dude. It's him. Right away. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam obviously came in, and he, after, you know, he built Quba. I'm jumping a few things. Quba was the first masjid, ussisa, that was built, accomplished, established at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And obviously that's why when you pray 2 rak'at, you go to Quba, you do your wudu at home, you pray 2 rak'at, what's the reward? Allahu Akbar. Can you imagine that's the easiest reward? But does that mean you don't have to do Hajj and Umrah anymore? No, you still do. Yeah, it's a reward. Okay. But now what happened? You know, there are other people that wanted to make a masjid al-Dirar. No, we are, you know, we're going to take this here and we're going to go. So this is a harmful one. The hypocrites did this. So what I'm trying to tell you is, do not be the hypocrite that will split the community. You're allowed to open other masjids, but you're not allowed to do it for political reasons and to split the community and to split the unity because of the illness of the heart and the whims and desires. That I have a problem with. But to expand, like the BIC is coming. Alhamdulillah, I know, don't go there. Let it rain, my man. Can we can't afford 25,000? How much is it going to cost? How are we going to come with 20? Allah Kareem, Sheikh. This is visionary, long term. Whether you like it or not, you will need it in Brisbane. It's coming. It's coming, inshallah. Tayyib. So do not be the person who lights the ignites the fitna. Don't be the one to build the Masjid al-Dirar. And he goes to Medina. Everybody welcomes them. Everybody wants them. Al-Qaswa, the camel comes in, da'uha. leave it. It's guided. What's it guided to do what? What did he do the first thing when he came to Medina? Subhanallah. Build the masjid. When he came to Quba, build the masjid. When he came to Medina, build the masjid. What does that tell you guys? The importance of the masjid. I mentioned in the fundraiser, Umar radiallahu anhu, he used to sit when he opened a new city, the conquest, he would be right here in the middle, and he would have the arrows in his back, and he would throw arrows 360. He would go around and throw arrows. In the center he was. This is the indication of the masjid. The arrows were landing where the boundaries of the city and the Medina would be. The center was the masjid. It has to be the center of your heart. It has to be the center of your life. The importance of the masjid is amazing. And that's why I told you even Mecca is the center of the earth, and it has to be the center of your life. And that's why I told you your heart is like a dish, like a satellite dish that's picking up the signal of Iman from Mecca. That's why every Muslim is pointing. This is Mecca. Every Muslim, no matter where you are, you're getting your charge. You're getting your boost, Iman boost from Mecca. This is the hub. This is the first masjid that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala built by Ibrahim alayhi salam. Adam, I'm not going to go to the rebuild by Adam and blah, blah, blah. Don't worry about it. Because the pillars were there, so we had to rebuild. Okay. But you can understand now how important that is. After he built the masjid, what did he do? Al-Mu'akha. One brother from Muhajireen goes to the brethren from the Ansar. That's why last week when two sisters embraced Islam, alhamdulillah. There are two sisters actually embraced Islam. One was publicly and one secretly. May Allah protect them both. And that's why I asked for a sister. I need a sister right away. Why? Exactly what Prophet Muhammad ﷺ did. And that's why when I'm asking you, when a new Muslim comes, please have somebody to have a brother or a sister. Be with them. Don't let him go, man. That's how we lose him. So Prophet Muhammad ﷺ first built the masjid for the importance of it. And he says, for every brother, there's a brother. Now you understand, could you imagine? They've left everything. They've left their families, their homes, their businesses. They migrated for the sake of Allah. And now the Ansar is telling him, you know what? Here, take half of my home. I have a business. Take half of my business. I have two wives. Which one do you like? I'm going to divorce. After her iddah is over, you marry her. But they didn't do that because it was out of the generosity and chivalry. They knew they weren't going to do that. And the sisters really don't like this when I talk about it. But literally, they did not accept it. You understand? The man did not divorce his wife. No, the other one would have accepted it. But the generosity, what did I tell you about the people in the Ansar? Medina. Remember when the people wanted to invade Medina? What happened early on in the history? A man told them, yeah, exactly. A man told them, you will never be able to beat these people. He says, why? Because هذا مهجر نبي. They're a prophet going to migrate here. You're not going to beat these people. You're not going to take it over because a prophet is migrating here, so you're not going to take it over. But what did they do? Look at the Ansar. When you go to Medina, I went first time in my life to go to Umrah in Ramadan. I have never seen anything like it in my life. How generous these people are. They will fight over you to come here, please. Please come here. Come here. Please eat with us. Eat with us. And of course, you look at where the biryani is and you go. It's very simple formula. Now what happened? He says in Medina in the history, they would fight the army that's coming at them during the day, but they will host on them during the night. First of all, I'm going to kill you, or you die, you're my enemy. In the evening, he says, thank you for coming, please thank you, not come again. The Japanese people are the most hospitable I've seen, and most respectful I've seen. I have to admit, I travel a lot, nobody comes to close to the Japanese, nobody. Except the Ansar, of course. Now, the brothers are there. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, radiallahu anhu warda. He says, Barakallahu fika wa ahlika wa malik. May Allah bless you, your family, health and wealth. Dulluni ala al-suq. Guide me to the marketplace. What do you learn from that, brothers or sisters? No handouts, no freebies. A Muslim cannot be a parasite. You cannot be a leech. Even though when I went to the camp, I literally had a leech. Who was there in the camp? Was there in the camp? Anybody in the camp? MashaAllah. I actually was teaching, I was giving a lecture, and I was going, something is like, this is serious bite here. And I'm taking my thing, I was like bleeding. I was, and then they found the leech. I go, la hawla wala quwwata. It's okay, hijama, hijama, Shaykh, it's okay. But the guy, Brother Hasib, the brother, a soft-hearted man, he did not want to kill it. He just took it, and even though it was wedding, he would let it go, and he would pick it up, bite it, and let it go until he safely threw it away. MashaAllah, may Allah bless him, ya Shaykh. Soft-hearted, MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. So when Prophet Muhammad SAW had the brethren do this, and Abdul Rahman ibn Awf said, Dulluni ala suq, guide me to the marketplace, because Prophet Muhammad SAW made dua for him. He says, wallahi, I know this, the dua, the barakah will come. Even if I turn over a stone, I will find something under it by the blessing of the dua of Prophet Muhammad. And he was the richest, among the richest sahaba, radwanullah alayhim ajma'in. How many wives did he have? Oh boy, did I say that out loud? Ana muwahid, tawheed al-khaifeen. Say, kharmana, kharmana. Listen, I'm in trouble already. But I have some good news. My wife has just been certified as a life coach. Woohoo! Are you happy now, honey? You good? I'm just trying to soften the blow. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf had four wives. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, radiallahu anhu. When he died, each wife had 32,000 dinar. Each wife, and that's the, you understand? Four times 32, eight. What? Understand? That's, yeah, dinar of gold. Kabish? That's how rich he was. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, radiallahu anhu, when I told you, when Prophet Muhammad says, yeah, Abdul Rahman, you're going to be standing in front of Allah for a long time. He says, how come? Because you're a rich man. Allah will ask you for every dinar. How did you get it and what did you spend it? And Medina was shaken. Why? An earthquake? No, the caravan of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf was coming to Medina and it was shaken. That's how big his caravan, merchants, the merchandise that he was, the commodity that he was trying to sell. Too big. He says, everything on this caravan is for the sake of Allah. Could you imagine, Shaykh? Yeah. Now, they're doing that, da'wah, and now they're dealing with Al-Aws wal-Khazraj, Banu Nadir, Banu Qaynuqa'. Yes? There are three tribes that are coming in and they have to do a treaty. So he comes in, Wathiqat al-Madinah. Anybody tell me, was there anything precedent to this? Any other country or any other people come up with a wathiqa like this, a treaty, rules and regulations of how to do things? Zero. This was something that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came up with, and they still teach it right now. They teach it right now how to actually use it between countries. Do you believe it? Up till now, they still take this wathiqa, this treaty of Medina, there where he had all the tribes, all different country, all different tribes and all different religions. Everybody's safe in their home. Everybody's safe to practice their religion. Everybody's safe when it comes to your wealth, your dignity, your honor, your intellect. Maqasid al-Sharia, the five goals of Sharia. Ajib. Now you can understand. I cannot go into the bands in it because obviously it's too much. But right now, they had to go. I'm going to start the wars and I'm going to finish with that, inshallah. But next one, we're going to finish it off on the positive, inshallah. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he started to do this and people wanted to kill him because obviously he is a prophet and they still had the jealousy. And they wanted to kill Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we know the story about the woman that had it poisoned the lamb, and because he liked the shoulder, she increased the poison in the lamb. So all of a sudden, now Prophet Muhammad was given a warning, as if the lamb is, it's another miracle. But now he says, Ujlu bani Nadir. They wanted to kill him. So, out. And now, that's fair. It's fair. But he didn't do anything else. Why I'm telling you, I'm going to tell you to do Banu Qaynuqa' now. Because of the treaty that it had and everything else in it, they had to have an exception, including Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. So I'm going to take you there quickly and come back and give you the lessons learned from the battles, and that's it for tonight, inshallah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had a treaty. They wanted to go perform the Umrah. What they did is they were ousted. They obviously could not go because they heard Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was coming. Long story short, he had the hadji. The hadji is the camel, and they actually stamped. They know that this is for the sake of Allah. They're not coming with any arms or anything else. They're coming to perform Umrah. So Quraysh came out. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam coming in, and all of a sudden the camel is not going anywhere. He drives it to the right, no problems. To the left, no problems. He goes back, no problems. Goes forwards, stops. Otherwise, they would have done it. Quraysh would never get it, but there was a hikmah. I'm trying to teach you a lesson. Don't think of what you have between your hands or between the right there. No. Don't look beneath your feet. Long term. Okay, again, long story short, he says, what happened? He says, habasaha habis al-fil. Yeah. Oh, Messenger of Allah, what's happening? What's going on? He says, the same one that held the elephant, what elephant? Abraha, Allahu Akbar. This is a learned sisters, mashallah. Abraha, the one that came to destroy the Kaaba. I'm not going to go there because it's not our topic at this point. It says, the one that held the elephant back, held the qaswa, the camel of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the Quraysh is coming. What are you doing? He says, we're coming to perform Umrah. Can't. So what happened? Well, you know what? You're not allowed. So now they're not coming in, and Umar al-Khattab started his blood boiling. You know, Umar al-Khattab, I'll see you outside. What you got? All right. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, really, relax. Let's talk about it. He knew there was something. Among the people that came in, you know, when it was Sahal Allahu alaykum, long story short, he says, you know what? You know him best. Go and treat him. He says, you know what? I see the hadi. They're not coming to war. They're not armed. They're very minimal. They're not coming in, not equipped. They're coming with the ihram. There's nothing. They're not the armors of war. Nothing. I see. Let them go. So you know what? No way we're going to listen to you. Quraysh, very stubborn. And this was Sayyid. He was a leader of another tribe. So he said, let's bring another one. He said, no, listen, I'm not like this guy here. If you send me over, you better listen. Otherwise, I'm going to get these people to, you know what I mean? Yeah. Let's go. So he goes, he gives him the same thing. But he saw something. He says, wallahi, you will not get this guy. You don't know how much these people love him. When he makes wudu, the water drops. They don't let it touch the ground. They take it and... They will no way gonna give this guy up. If you think you're gonna fight, no way. By everyone you're gonna kill, they'll kill two of you, or one of you at least. What life is it gonna be then? I'd say let them. The second one, no go. They're very stubborn still. They don't want to let go. Behind Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was a Sahabi that did something really bad before he embraced Islam. Again, just a thought. And His uncle now is coming to deal with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's mulatham. His nephew is mulatham. He's a strong man. He killed a lot of people. Okay, let's just put it this way: from a tribe that they destroyed him, he took a lot of money and he fled. He was imprisoned, and he says, "Oh, you imprisoned me? I'm going to take you out." He got away from his ties. He killed the people that guarded him. He took all the money and hid. Says what? Anyway, so Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sitting. He was running behind him, mulatham, and he has a sword. And this man comes in here, tries to touch the beard of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What's he doing? He was poking him. He wants to see if he's going to go. You know what? What are you doing? Because it's a type of a... So before the man reaches for the beard of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this man took the sword. He doesn't know. This is his uncle. He knows that. But this man doesn't know that this is his nephew. He takes the sword, turned it sideways, and snapped his wrist. He says, Hada Rasulullah. You reach your hand again, I will cut it off. He says, Man hada al-fadl al-ghaliz? Who is this harsh-hearted? He doesn't know that he says, listen, don't you know him? Prophet Muhammad says, don't you recognize him? This is your nephew. He goes, yep, no, this is what? I just paid the ransom. I'm still paying the debt of these people to save you. Because doesn't matter what you do. هذا رسول الله. No go. So he was the one. He says, okay, let me deal with you. Here's our treaty. Everybody becomes a Muslim from Quraysh, you have to bring him back. Anybody from Quraysh comes to you, wants to embrace Islam, no deal. He has to come back to us. But anybody from you comes back to us, we'll keep him. You can't get it back. And Umar Khattab, just let me. He says, Uktub ya Ali. Ali ibn Abi Talib was writing this treaty. He says, هذا محمد ابن عبد الله, هذا رسول الله. Wallah, if we knew that your Rasulullah would have followed you, take this Rasulullah out. Ali ibn Abi Talib says, I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to take it out. So Prophet Muhammad says, where is it? Let me see, because he could not, he's unlettered. Don't say illettered. He's unlettered. That's a way, polite way to say about Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Says, show me where this word is. I will take it out myself. What do you learn from that? They have to learn something from this. طيب. Listen, it's a golden rule. ليست العبرة بالحروف والمباني إنما العبرة بالقصد والمعاني. Which means, don't tell me, you know, this is the letters and we'll make a word and well, doesn't matter to me. But what is the intention behind it and the meaning behind the words? Not just how you build it. So he has a bigger fish to fry. So guys, don't get stuck in the weed. Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was going to take out the laqab. Allah gave him this. He's Rasulullah. Nobody's defying this. But he says, just to get this deal going, let me wipe it out. He says, if you're going to do it, you do it. I'm not going to do it. And long story short, obviously he says, you cannot come here. You cannot come this time. You shall not pass. And Umar Khattab is boiling again. These are very unfair rules. And Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam agreeing. And after this, Umar al-Khattab goes to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq and says, what do you think? What's going on? He says, هذا رسول الله فلزم غرسه. This is not any man. This is the messenger of Allah. Follow his footsteps. Yeah? Be careful, brothers and sisters. Straying away from his footsteps. Stick. Follow his footsteps. If you want to meet him in Jannah, you have to follow his footsteps. And now, Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, okay, agreed. As they're doing this, a man comes in, says, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. He says, العهد. He says, we didn't write it yet. Umar ibn Khattab says, you didn't write it yet. He says, أما يكفيكم يا blah, blah, that you did this verbally? You know what that means? You didn't write it, but you agreed to it. Do we take verbal commitment? We do. So be a man of your word. So Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, take him. Ya Rasulullah, yaftinuni fi dini. Crying. The man is crying. I come to you Muslim and you give me back to these people. They will take me away from my deen. Umar ibn Khattab, he says, now we can't fight, right? We're not allowed to fight. So what does he do? He stands up. He exposes his sword. He's poking him. I can't kill this man, but you can. Because we made a deal. So the man, he runs, he has now, they captured him, two and one, three on this guy. And this guy here takes him on and he fleds. Says, bring him back. He says, we gave him to you. You're the one who lost him. So Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said something very important. He says, وَيْحَ أُمِّهْ مُسَعِرُ حَرْبْ لَوْ أَنَّ مَعْهُ رِجَالْ يَا سَلَامْ. Is this man here is a fighter, fierce fighter. He's musa'ir harb. He will ignite. I just wish that he had men with him. He heard it. So what did he do? He didn't go back and he didn't stay with them. He can't stay with them. We made a deal. So he went somewhere in between. And everybody else now heard what's going on. Everybody from Mecca, when Quraysh wants to become a Muslim, doesn't come because they know. And they joined him. And they had a big gang. And everybody goes from Mecca and Medina. Come on down, my man. It's ours, dude. So now Quraysh goes back to Prophet Muhammad and says, you know, these guys are killing us. Take this band out. So they wipe the band out. Now people used to come. You understand? I'm not going to ask you to ignite the fire. I'm just asking you to be a man That's all. Now, the treaty where it starts all the wars. Let's start with Badr. Badr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it Al-Furqan. Al-Furqan, what is Furqan? يُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ Okay, Al-Haqq wal-Batil. Furqan is the one, that, the criterion that differentiates between truth and falsehood. Allah called it that. How many were we? 313, 314, somewhere there. How many were they? 3,000. You will notice that a 3-to-1, almost always, you will have the 3-to-1 ratio, with the exceptions. Now, why were they going? Are they going to, what's the purpose of Badr? Yeah, to regain some of the losses that they incurred. These people took our homes, they took everything else. We just need to get some back. I was in Badr when the first time last year, first time I went to Badr, I cried. Because I can visualize how the Sahaba were. So Prophet Muhammad ﷺ now, you know, coming out, and they want ta'ir, to want to get some money back from what they lost. Quraysh hears, they get 1,300 actually, to fight, to protect the ta'ir, the camels and the caravan. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam hears this, I go, oh, we are not prepared. What do you do? Ashiru alayhi ayyuhan nas. Muhajirin, we're with you. Haven't heard the Ansar. Ashiru alayhi ayyuhan nas. Give me your, what do you say? He says, you mean us, O Prophet of Rasulullah? He says, yes. He says, wallahi, law khutta bina birakal. He said, wallahi, there are two tribes, there are a few tribes that are fighters. So wallahi la khutta bina, if you actually, even this was a whole ocean of tribes that are enemies that will kill us, we will do it with you. We will say, we idhab anta wa rabbuka innaha ma'aka. We will be with you, not like the Jews, idhab anta wa rabbuka innaha huna qa'idun. We will not say, you go ahead, and we're sitting here. No. So he was now, okay, we're ready. Sawad was a bigger man. Now he's stuffu to pray and get ready. So Sawad, it was a little bit offline, so he hit him with the sticks in line. Now it's time. So you hurt me, O Messenger of Allah. He's al-qasas, retribution. He says, yours. The Sahaba wanted to kill Sawad. What are you doing? He says, no, you didn't hit me on the stomach. He says, bare skin. So Prophet Sallam, he showed him his bare skin. And what did he do? He hugged him and kissed him. He says, what happened? Why are you doing this? He says, as you see, we're meeting the enemy and I could be dying. And I want the last thing to touch me is your skin. How much do you love Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? And you ask yourself, how much do you love Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? And then the Battle of Badr. You understand that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gave him victory. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gave him the angels to fight with them. Because he promised. Now from the 100, from 1,300, 300 says, you know what, we got da'ir, we got the caravan safe, let's go. 300 left. But Abu Jahl said, no, no way. I want the Arabs to hear about us. These are only 315, where 1,000, we'll kill them. And believe it or not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a plan. وَلَوْ تَوَعَدْتُمْ لَاخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِي الْمِعَادِ. And the battle started. Long story short, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Prophet says, Quraysh came with the Fadhl al-Akbad, the best of them. And now, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allahu Akbar. Allah gave me one of the two, either the caravan or victory. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the victory. Long story short, again, Muslims were victorious. The Quraysh couldn't believe it. They're waiting for that the victory. And all of a sudden they hear that Muhammad is won. They couldn't believe it. Some of them, they went sick. The uncle of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, first one they said, oh, we beat the Muslims. We are all of this. You know, we killed Muhammad. All rumors. But the truth came in after. Al-Abbas رضي الله عنه وارضاه. حمزة became a Muslim first. Al-Abbas was, he felt ill when he heard that happened, because it's still, is there an earthquake coming here too? What's, no? You're good? Alhamdulillah. So now, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes back, the victory, alhamdulillah. They killed 70 of them, 70 of Quraysh. And they had 70 hostages. Great victory. Quraysh couldn't take it. Long story short, what comes after? Uhud. Is a bigger lesson learned here. The Battle of Uhud was the biggest lesson learned in the history of Islam, believe it or not, the scholars say. Now they're coming to fight again. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ saw a vision. He says, I dreamed that I had a cow was slaughtered and Salama in my safe. I had a little bit bent in my sword, and I had my arm protected in an armor. He says, Awilha, what is it? He says, a cow that was going to be killed as some of my companions will die. And this bent in my sword will be from my own family. And the hand that I placed it in, the protector, is Medina. Fa'ara, I see that we should fight in Medina. From the Ansar did not go in Badr, because they were very, no, let's go, yaqulu jabunna. If we fight in Medina, they will say that, you know, we are cowards. Let's go outside. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw that their majority, and he took the shura. He didn't have to, but he honored it. So the elder, they went to them and said, what are you doing? Didn't you hear what he said? He says he feels protected in Medina and you're now forcing him to go outside. So they turn and say, go, sorry, O Messenger of Allah, we'll do what you wish. He says, no, I wore the armor of war. And it's not befitting for a Messenger of Allah to wear the armor of war and sit and change, take it out, unless we go fight. He goes out. Long story short again, he tells the Ruma, the archers, you know what? There are 70 of you here, and the Jubair ibn Abdullah ibn Jubair, he was the head of the Ansar, and he said, you're in charge of these archers, do not come down. Even if you see us victorious, don't join us. The war is over, don't, unless I tell you to come down. Khalid ibn al-Walid had a platoon from the other side, waiting on the other side. And now Quraysh is so confident that they win this, they said, we'll bring our wives with us. Women are coming. They had the ma'azif, they had the singers, they had the dancers, they had the food, they had the wine. We're going to celebrate. We're going to kill them this time. So, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came the other way around again, and he protected himself with the boundary of Uhud was behind him. The archers were on the left-hand side. Khalid ibn Walid was here, and the battle was here. Like when you go there, you'll see how it goes. Again, I'm coming to the chase of that, where really the story, how it went. And it started, and the Mubaraza, you know, the Arabs used to go first, you have like a showman sword, individuals like first. And everyone that came forward, the Muslims killed them. So they said, you know what, it's not a good idea. Let's just stop this thing, it's not working for us. Now, Abdurrahman ibn Auf was going, and he had two young men around beside him. He says, I wish I had two older, stronger men. Who were they? Bani Afran. There are two cousins from Bani Afran, from the same family. They're young, very young. And they came, Ya Amma, O uncle, Abdurrahman al-Awf, where is Abu Jahl? What? You're asking for Abu Jahl? Are you kidding me? So I said, oh, I feel good. This is solid young men. They both came in, asked him, where is Abu Jahl? I told them, you see where everybody is protecting? You see that man in the middle? Everybody's protecting? That's Abu Jahl. And he says, I didn't finish anything. Two arrows run toward Abu Jahl. And they both nail him at the same time. And they come back to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, I killed Abu Jahl, I killed Abu Jahl. He says, show me your sword, show me your sword. I says, you both killed him. He sends Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu warda. And now, he goes to Abu Jahl. I'm mixing a few things. Badr, I think. I'm going back and forth. Allahumma sta'an. No, not yet. Hold that. We'll still go back. But he goes to Abu Jahl. He goes, لمن الدائرة لله ورسوله عدو الله. So he takes his man. Says Abdullah bin Mas'ud. Says علوته. You're on the top of a mountain. Oh, you're a slave. Blah, blah, blah. Even when he was dying, he was arrogant. So Abdullah Mas'ud took a dagger, give him a Spanish necktie, cut his head off, grab him by the head. He goes to Prophet Muhammad and says, هذا أبو جهل, for real, الله أكبر, مات فرعون هذه الأمة. The Pharaoh of this Ummah has died, Abu Jahl. Who was else? Yeah, Umayyah ibn Khalaf. Ya salam. Again, long story short, let's go to Bilal radiallahu anhu, and he says, you know what, this used to punish me, blah, blah, blah. And he was trying to cover him to get the booties of war. He says, run, I can't help you, he's going to nail you. So he was down under, going, this used to punish me. Alhamdulillah, they won, going back, 70 killed, 70 hostages, and Prophet ﷺ has to make a decision. Do we kill him or do we ransom? Umar al-Khattab says, kill him. You know Umar radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr Siddiq, ransom. He says, what? Okay, teach us how to do the Arabic and writing and all that, we'll let you go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down into Ayyid. Inna, I support the opinion, because it's not, you're just starting, you need to know sure. You understand that Abu Bakr Siddiq was looking for his son to kill. Nothing. Islam. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِخْوَةً. It's not that. No way. Again, let's go to the Battle of Uhud for now. So, they take the raya and they win. All the time that the person is holding the banner, they take him on. So the mushrikeen fled. Quraysh fled. They were beaten in the beginning of Uhud. And he said, Wallahi, I saw the ankle, the gold bracelets on the ankles of the women. You know what does that mean? The army fled, they left women behind, and women are raising their dresses to be able to run. So they saw the ankles of women. That's what it means. Now, what happened? The archers came down off the mountain. Allah Abdullah ibn Jubayr says, didn't Prophet ﷺ says stop till the war is over? The war is over. غلبتهم الدنيا. They didn't listen. He says, wait till I tell you to come down. Yeah, but to come down when the battle is over, the battle is over. So they come down, except him and two others. Three only now holding the fort. Khalid ibn al-Walid still has the platoon. He now bulldozes them. He doesn't go around. He just goes over the mountain of the Roma archers. It's supposed to be 70. None. He killed them all. He comes back down. What happened? They're now behind the Muslim army, the line where Prophet Muhammad was trying to protect. Now they call the army that has fled. He says, we're here. Go back and turn. So the Muslim army was trapped in the middle. Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu with a full platoon behind. And the Quraysh now turns around, and Muslims are in a vice. Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu anhu says, Wallahi, I saw Muslims kill my own father. Abi, Abi, yarhamukumullah, you're killing my own father. Because they couldn't tell. Chaos was all over the place. Uqba ibn Abi Ma'it, he makes a hole for Prophet ﷺ, he falls in, and he says, we killed Muhammad. And Abu Dujana runs over and he puts his thing and he gets 70 wounds on his back. He looks like a porcupine to protect him. Now we retreat. He goes back to Uhud. And they carry him. And he was fighting so hard. He took the stone. He hit him. And the armor, the head, the helmet went inside. Can you imagine? Prophet ﷺ was bleeding profusely. Allahumma aghfir liqawmi innahum la ya'lamun. They don't know what they're doing. Oh Allah, forgive my people. Do you believe it at this point? Can you imagine? So they carry him. They go back onto they're retreating back to the mountain. They carry him. And they come back. The kuffar, it says, we killed Muhammad. Says, la tujibu. Says, afikum Muhammad? Is Muhammad still alive? Says, la tujibu. Don't answer him. Afikum Abu Bakr? Is Abu Bakr still alive? Says, la tujibuh, don't answer him. Afikum Umar? I'm not going to tell you what happened after that. Kullama qult hayyun yurzaq ya adu Allah. Everyone you mentioned is alive and well, O enemy of Allah. He says, Wallahi anta asdaqu minni min Abdullah ibn Abu Qabi'a. You are more truthful to me than this man that says we killed Muhammad. Then he says, u'lu hubal. Rise, Hubal. Who is Hubal? is an idol that used to worship. أَلَا تُجِيبُهُ. Now he tells him, don't you answer him? So what do we say? He says, قُلْ أَلَّهُ أَعْلَى وَأَجَلْ. This one I start getting goosebumps, man. And he says, اللَّهُ مَوْلَانَا وَلَا مَوْلَى لَكُمْ. Allah is our guardian, and you have no guardian. The sijal, they're equals, it's not the sijal, they're not the same. Your deceased are going to hellfire, our deceased are going to heaven. And who? How much they killed? They killed 70 of Muslims because of one error. What was the error? They disobeyed the command of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you can tell me now, what is the biggest lesson learned in the Battle of Uhud, you will get everything here. Not everything here, everything here. Tell me what is the biggest lesson learned in the Battle of Uhud. Okay, very good. But you got it. But tell me a little longer. Okay, if I don't get a better answer, this sister gets it. Habibi, go ahead. Obey Allah. Habibi. Okay, they saw the booty. Okay, Habibi Yahya. Okay, don't think it's over unless it's over. The fat lady sings. Good, okay. All right. Right on. Very good, very good. So you can split it. But here's the biggest lesson learned according to scholars. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave victory to Muslims on the Battle of Uhud after they disobeyed the command of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the later generations of Muslims would have said, you know what? They won even though they disobeyed the command of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We as Muslims, we can also disobey the command of Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We also get victory. He says, no, you're not going to get it. That is the biggest lesson learned in the history of that. So I'll give you two, and I'll give you two. Okay. There's two for the sister in white. Okay, so I guess it's going to one of them. That one is bound. Bound, very good. It's again, very good. Moving forward. Let's go to Tabuk. And Khandaq, I don't think I have enough time. So let's go to Khandaq. Let's go to Khandaq. Khandaq, a trench. Salman al-Farisi, Persia. 10,000 people coming strong. The Jews are very upset that Prophet ﷺ kicked him out. The only one that is holding on is Banu Qaynuqa because Prophet ﷺ is fair. These people wanted to kill me, you're out. These people are treating me well, you stay. Simple. So, Huyay ibn al-Ahtab comes in and he goes to Quraysh. Let's go back and get these people. He goes to Hawazin, he goes to Ghatafan, he goes to all the tribes of the Arabs. He has 10,000 army strong coming. And he goes to Ka'b ibn Asad, he's the leader of Bani Qurayza. He goes, جئتكم بالنصر, جئتكم بالعز, جئتكم بفخر العرب, جئتكم, I come to you with all the glory and might. And he says, جئتنا بالذل, جئتنا بالهذيمة, جئتنا, you know, no, you come to us with everything else opposite what you said. What? He says, والله ما رأينا من محمد إلا خير. We haven't seen anything bad from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're still on ahd. Do you imagine? 10,000 people coming, man. You will get everything. No, this man was good to us. I'm not breaking it. However, he unfortunately broke down after. So he's still nagging until he actually, you know, subsided. He actually accepted. Now what happened? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard the rumor. He's coming out with the army to fight. What's 10,000, what are we going to do? He, Salman al-Farisi, says, when we had a lot of people coming our way, we had dug a trench. He dug a trench. He goes to Bani Qurayza. Are you still on the ahd? No way, dude. We're not. So he sends Sa'd ibn Mu'adh and Sa'd ibn Ubadah, the leaders of the Ansar. He's go to them, make sure that they're actually on the treaty. If they are, declare it. If they're not, give me a hint. لَمِّحُوا وَلَا تُصَرِّحُوا. So they go, he says, are you on the treaty? What treaty? Tell your Muhammad that we're blah, blah, blah. We're going to blah, blah, blah. Ooh. Your ahd qadar because it's not the, to tell me, listen, this is not the time to go and tell them you people are bad people. Didikukha, go to your room. I'm going to give you a timeout. It's not, dude, there's a fight. There's 10,000 here and these guys are coming to nail us. So now what happened? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the women and children in the Husun, they went up, and now people have fled. They heard what's going on, and the two Sahaba comes in and says, "Ya Rasulullah, Adl wal Qara. What is Adl wal Qara? Adl wal Qara was two tribes that came and says, "We are become a Muslim. Give us your Qurra, give us the people, the best of you to teach us." And what did they do? They slaughtered them all. 70 of the Qurra were slaughtered one time. All Hufaz. All righteous, all knowledgeable. So it was a faji'ah. Prophet ﷺ did this dua against them for 2 months in his qunut. So they said, Adl wal Qara, those two tribes that betrayed us, that's what he says. Allahu Akbar, abshiru bin nasr. Can you believe it, man? This is called psychological warfare. He did not say that, oh my God, call 911, call 000, or I want my mommy, and I'm afraid of the dark, let's go home, let's wrap it up, man, run, sell. He's, Allahu Akbar, abshiru bin nasr, Allahu Akbar, give good news, we are going to win this thing. Do you believe it, man? That's the positive attitude, man. PMA, not PMA, we'll just keep this three letters. Positive mental attitude, PMA. Get it? Not the PMA. Doc knows what I'm talking about. then what happened? Some of the, of course, all the hypocrites are back. Everyone is back. Now they're running to cover. They haven't eaten. They haven't prayed asr. They haven't done anything. Umar used to make cursing because I can't pray. We're running back and forth to protect the khandaq. A few penetrated the khandaq. Among them is Amr ibn Wud. Amr ibn Wud is a fierce fighter. If you mention the word Amr ibn Wud, people go, ooh. You know, have you seen this movie, Lion King? You know when the guy calls Mufasa, ooh. Good, you watched it. Alhamdulillah, okay, yani. Because every time I mention a movie, you go, haram, yani, sheikh. It's a Disney, yani, come on, man. Okay. So now what happened? He says, "Man yubariz, fama qama ahad." Nobody got up. Anybody wants to fight? Nobody. Third time, "Man yubariz, Ali ibn Abi Talib." I will get up. No, ujlis ya Ali, sit, Ali. Anybody? Nobody. Ali again for the second time. Anybody? Nobody comes up. Ali again. He says, "Yaktulk ya Ali, he will kill you." He says, "Ana aqtulhu ya Rasulullah." So he goes back. Yeah, Ali ibn Abi Talib walks to him, no horse. His men? It's Ali ibn Abi Talib. He says, "Ya bunay, oh my son, go back. Give me somebody older, bigger, you know, stronger, mature." He goes, "I don't want to kill you." He says, "But I want to kill you." Huh? He says, "I will give you options. Aslim Taslim." He's offering him to become a Muslim at this point. Or jizya or nizal. He says, "Wallahi, I have never thought in my lifetime nobody would call me to the nizal. Nobody. I have never thought in my lifetime I would hear anyone to say, bring it. I want to fight you. Nobody." So he kills his horse. Why? Ali ibn Abi Talib has no horse. Takes out his sword. And the narrator says, "Wallahi, we have heard so much noise. We couldn't see it for hours. I mean, this took a long time. And all we saw is just dust, a cloud of dust, because how fierce this fight was. After a long time of fight, we only hear Allahu Akbar." Exactly. And that's exactly what the army said. Allahu Akbar, the army said. And out of it, Ali ibn Abi Talib came victorious. They went back. Long story short again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives one man becomes a Muslim. One man. Na'im ibn Mus'ad. One man becomes a Muslim. He goes to Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله رسول الله. He goes, oh, يا فرحتي. One man becomes a Muslim. What am I going to do? Now we're 301. I have 10,000 people out there, man. He goes, I have a plan. What's your plan? It's going to make them go against each other. He goes, go ahead. He goes to Bani Qurayza. He's a Jew from them. He goes, don't you know who I am? ما تظنوني بي? He says, we know who you are. I now just said that these guys here, بطأوا الفتح, been there for a long time, they couldn't do it. They're going to let you go and you're going to have to face Muhammad on your own. So what do you want? He's bring 10 of them, of their honorable, of the society, to stay with you as a ransom, so they don't leave you alone. And he goes to the allies. He goes, listen, do you know who I am? He says, we know who you are. Says, these guys here said they regretted what he did and they promised Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam 10 of your honorable to give him to say, you know what, we're back. So Abu Sufyan, very smart, he goes, go back and tell me what's going on. Go back and make sure. So he said, are you still on the ahd? Yes, we're still. So, but we want 10 of you. Ooh. Na'im ibn Mus'ad is right. Okay. Bring it. So they knew it. They now... Hudayf ibn al-Yaman, this night was the criteria, and I'll finish with this inshallah, because there's just too many things on the battle. Hudayf ibn al-Yaman was asleep, was actually, everybody is dark. So this night was dark night, very windy, very cold, one of the worst nights ever. Then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, مَن يَأْتِينِي بِخَبَرِ الْقَوْمِ وَأَضْمَنْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. Who can tell me what's going on in the other camp? And I guarantee you're going to Jannah. He says, فَمَا قَامَ أَحَدٍ. Nobody got up. It's cold, it's dark, it's windy, it's rainy. It's like horrible night. Prophet Muhammad repeats it three times. Nobody gets up. So his foot hits the foot of Hudhayfa ibn Yaman. مَن؟ لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوتَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Who is it? He has to answer now. Hudhayfa ya Rasulullah. Says, قُمْ يَا حُذَيْفَ. It's a command now. Get up, Hudhayfa. He goes, oh boy. I can't deny it because he told me. He goes, go tell me what's going on. وَمَا تَحْدُثُ. Don't do anything. So Hudhayfa ibn Yaman says, he says, wallahi, as soon as I said yes, I had like a warm bath feeling around me. No more cold, no more shivering, nothing. I went to the other side. I saw that they were worse. The tents are flying, the fire is out, everything is all over the place. So Sufyan, Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, he wasn't a Muslim then. He says, I can't trust anybody now. I want everybody from you to grab the person on the right and to grab the person on the left and ask him who they are to make sure. Uh-oh. Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman just walked in and he's gonna be exposed. So what did he do? Muslim is kayis fatin, mishkis utn, smart intellectual individual. He grabbed the person on the right side. Who are you? He told him. He grabbed the person on the left. Who are you? He told him. And he said, nobody bothered to ask me. Then he sees Abu Sufyan, the head of the army. And I reached for my arrow. And I had it in my bow. I almost let it go. I remembered what? Prophet ﷺ says, don't do anything. So he let it go back. He goes back to Prophet ﷺ, says, Ya Rasulullah, here's what's happening, here's what this. He goes back, says, Nam. He goes, now I slept the sun, only the only thing that the sun from the, I didn't feel anything. So what happened? First of all, we learned that Salman al-Farisi was a young man and Prophet ﷺ heard and took his shura. And I'm telling you guys, you have to think outside the box. You have to think. A young man like Salman al-Farisi told Prophet ﷺ what to do and he heard it, and you have to think outside the box. And not to mention, Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman commanded, came back and told Prophet ﷺ the good news. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used one jund to disperse the whole army, which was the wind. But Prophet ﷺ, I'll finish with this statement, inshallah. Prophet ﷺ mentioned something very, very special. Anybody knows that statement? He says, لا يغزونا بعد اليوم ونغزوهم. After today, they will not come and invade us. We will now invade them. That was a turning point in the life of the history of Islam. With this, I ask Allah to have a turning point in our lives to make Islam victorious in our hearts, for us first, our families and others. Ameen wa akhda wa alhamdulillah rabbil alamin wa salam ala alihi wa sahbihi wa tabi'in. All right, too many stories, but I think it's good enough. Next week, we're going to finish it off, inshallah, and tell you what the lessons learned from all the whole thing. And inshallah, in the meanwhile, any questions about anything I said so far? No? Fantastic. My questions, I know. Okay, let's make it short, inshallah, then we'll pray Isha, we head out. Sisters, what was the first thing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam do when he on his way to Al-Madinah? Build the masjid. Which one would you like, Ukhti? Anyone? Bueller? Oh, you're laughing. I know what you've been watching. It's a very old movie. Yeah, don't worry about it. Brothers, what is the essence and lesson learned from Prophet ﷺ building a masjid, first thing he did? Yes, Habib. Right on. The importance of the masjid in your life. Your whole life revolves on the masjid. Yes? The center. Okay. Umar ibn Khattab, remember that? He was in the middle, arrows. That's right. Okay, sisters. After he built the masjid, what did he do and why? Go ahead, Ukhti. Allahu Akbar. Every muhajirin came from the Ansar. Very good, Ukhti. So we learned masjid first, then brotherhood second. You got that, guys? And as I said, I'm Egyptian. I can't really say brotherhood freely at this point. But okay, I don't know how to get it to you. Oh, I can't. I'm impressed. Okay, because there was a, yeah, don't worry. You should have seen it. Brothers. What was the, by the way, the Sulh Hudaybiyah was called Fath. Yeah, Allah said, you know what, you thought it was bad? And you know, it's a long story. But it was good. Allah called it Fath. Yeah, they started to give da'wah and 10 years of Hudna, and they came back, you know, when they came back, the conquest of Medina. I'll finish with that, inshallah. Next week, I'll talk to you about that. And that when they came back, that victory, that major victory, we're going to finish with, inshallah. Brothers, lesson learned from Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. What? There's too many. Just give me one lesson learned from Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, the treaty of Hudaybiyah. Go ahead, my man. Right. Weren't you over here with your mom? What happened? You moved with your dad now? My mom went. That's why I'm with dad. But he likes the sister side more. Good for you. See, that's a smart man. Hi. Good, mashallah. The relay. You see, that's the brotherhood. See the Muhajirin Ansar. Very good, mashallah. Okay, sisters, give me the lesson learned from Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, radiallahu anhu warda. When the man told him, I give you half of my house, my wife, and my. Show me the marketplace. What did you learn from that, brothers? Okay, I heard you. Sheikh. Don't be a leech. That's right. A Muslim is a ha anada. Here I am. Not Jaddi Fulan, my uncle is this, and my. No. Here I am. If it is to be, it's up to me. I take matters of money. I'm not a leech. I'm not a parasite. No hand me out, man. The upper hand is better than the beginning. Work. Don't tell me I'm going to collect some pogi, dude. You know, that I'm going to just get some taxes. I'm not going to be. No. I'm a productive member of the family, the community. I'm not just a consumer. And I'll tell you why. Because the Chinese are very tired of doing everything. And the Japanese are also very tired of inventing everything. When are the Muslim communities going to come forward, dude? We've done something. We invented something. Can we do that, Sheikh? At least one of us can come up with something, please. Wallahi. All right. Sisters. No, you know what? We'll call it a tie. We'll call it a tie. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4. I think that's the four types here. All right. You know the drill. You get this lovely thingy. And your team wins. Tie break. Ooh. Tie break question is, what was the final statement of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This hand was up first.
That they won't come to conquer us now, we will conquer them.
Where I go, sisters, it's not a salah. Don't worry, I'm not. I can't do this. Can you say takbir? خلاص يعني الحمد لله. Good for you, my dear sister. You win again, and I'm not surprised because you brothers are just solid. MashaAllah, you take everything right here, and you don't take any notes. MashaAllah, sisters win again. It's like what? It's like 5,001. What's the score now? Very good. 1, 2, 3, and 4. May Allah bless you, sisters. I am very proud of both of you. Support the cause that the sister came to plead with. I ask Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ilah to bless you for everyone that is being here with us, wallahi, for every step you've taken. I ask Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ilah to remember all your names mentioned by the angels to them. And I ask Allah to forgive us as we gather for His sake. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ilah to gather us with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Firdaus al-A'la with no accountability as he gathered in the dunya. Last one will be next Thursday, inshallah. So I ask you all to come, inshallah, so we'll have fun together and finish the seerah together in a way that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be proud of us to walk in his footsteps till we meet him then. Subhanakallahumma hamdik, nashal astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, jazakumullahu khairan, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.